growing in faith, becoming fully persuaded. Again, we said that faith is a conviction, it's a confidence, it's a trust, it's a belief, it's a reliance. And the last one is a persuasion, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Faith is not merely believe something, but it is fully persuaded about something. Now, this is very important, that if you want to be a person of faith, to move to be a person that is fully persuaded, it is not necessarily an easy thing to do. It's something that a lot of times, and we're talking about faith, it's not really mentioned that much, but it's vital, it's crucial for you to walk and live by faith. You have to be fully persuaded. And so the word persuade means to cause to do something, because you're so persuaded that it causes you to act and do something about it, to bring to the point of action by reasoning, urging, or inducement, to induce to believe something, to convince. A man of faith has done what is necessary to persuade himself that God's word is the truth. And one of the keys to being fully persuaded is this concept we call meditation. Meditation is to reflect, it's to mutter, it's to ponder God's word, it's to make a quiet sound such as sighing, or to contemplate something as one repeats words. Meditation allows the believer to see or imagine himself with his need met before he actually sees it in the natural. That's meditation. Now, the first time I heard about meditation, the only concept I had about meditation before I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland talk about it was the whole idea of, in yoga, someone sitting in that position and, you know, chanting and saying things, and I didn't really know what they were doing or what was going on there, and I heard that that was meditation. So I always thought, well, that's kind of a weird thing. I don't need to mess with that. That's some kind of, you know, Eastern religion, and that has nothing to do with Christianity. But then as I heard Brother Copeland talk about it, and as I begin to read the Word of God, that meditation is a Bible word, that they got that from Christianity. And so meditation is an important part of faith. And at that time, when I first heard about it, the only concept I've had of meditation, or my understanding was, is that of visualization. Have you heard that word before? And I had that in football. Our coach talked about that, to visualize yourself when you're playing football. To visualize yourself. Rehearse the plays. And so I would do that. I was an offensive end and a defensive end. And so we had our playbook. And I was supposed to be in class paying attention. And many times I would sit through my class and I would, now, you know, young people don't do this now in your classes, but don't do that tonight either. But I would think and go over those plays, and I would see myself carry out my position and execute it. There's different areas in football that are basic fundamentals, blocking and tackling. I used to do that in those areas, visualize tackling. And you'd rehearse it, and then you'd go out and do it on the practice field or in the game. And it really works. Same thing with golf. A lot of the golfers talk about that, that they'll in their mind, they'll visualize their swing, or they'll visualize what they want the ball to do, or how they're going to hit this shot and what's going to happen, or they'll visualize where the ball is going to hit on the green, all these different things. And so the world is using it. Other religions are using it. And the Christians, which, you know, God intended it to be for us, are not using meditation. So we need to learn about it tonight and talk about it and then actually do it in our lives. And again, so it's taking God's word and it's rehearsing it, going over it. A good way to do it, maybe go through the Gospels. And I know many times when you're reading the Word of God or you're reading the Gospels, you'll see a particular person and you'll relate to that person. Maybe it's someone that's getting healed, or maybe it's a financial miracle or different thing. But you have to begin to, when you look at some of these Gospel stories, begin to not only see yourself as the person that's receiving the miracle, but also begin to see yourself as Jesus. And begin to see yourself as the one laying hands on people, speaking the word, casting out devils, all these different things that you'll see Jesus do, being bold, speaking to the weather. And so what you do is, when you go through the Gospel stories, take a little time, instead of just speed reading, because sometimes we get into, well, we got to read our 3 chapters a day. And so and I understand what you're doing there. You want to read through the Bible in a year. But if that is all you do, and you never take the time to actually think and meditate and rehearse the things that you are going over, that word will never really become alive in you. So if you read the Word of God, say you read it in the morning, take one or two of the scriptures that really meant something. Say if you're reading three chapters, take one or two of those scriptures and begin to meditate on them throughout the day. You know, if you're involved in some boring conversation during lunch, just pretend like you're listening to them and meditate on the Word. Think about the Word of God. Think about what you read. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer. I am the head, not the tail. Begin to talk about these things. Begin to rehearse them. And one way you can do it is to confess it, confessing God's Word. Another way is, again, just to mentally go over it. Another one is to, you know, just quietly say different things. Look in your Bible over in Joshua 1. And another word that I like to use for meditation is mulling something. You ever heard that word? And the thing about it, you're doing this anyways. You might as well do it with God's Word. You know that you're meditating on something every day? For a lot of top people, it's the problem. And so they're rehearsing the problem. They're rehearsing their worries and their concerns until they're building an image on the inside of that problem. And so that problem is perpetuated in their lives. And so we're all doing that. You may do that in at a job. Let's say you're starting a new job and the person is training you. At first, you're going to have a hard time doing it because you don't really understand maybe the whole process, how it works. But if you've done it for a while, you've been trained, there's going to come a point in time when you can see yourself doing the job. So what's happened? You've mulled, you've thought over the process here until you can see yourself doing. And so you've done that in different areas. You've done that in sports. You've done that on the job. You've done that in other areas. Now we're just saying, let's take these same things that you're already doing from God's perspective, do it with according to the Word of God. So Joshua, and let's just talk in Joshua, it shows you the benefits of meditation. This book of the law, talking about God's Word, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, meaning it's constantly on your mouth. You're hearing it, you know, the gates to your spirit, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. You're constantly speaking. You're constantly looking. You're constantly listening, putting that Word of God in there. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it when? Once a day? 5 minutes a day? Every other day? Once a week? Day and night. And this is a key. This is where we miss it. That we haven't taken the Word and transferred it from these pages and got it into our spirit. And the best way to do that is through meditate, through mulling, through thinking, through, if you want to call it visualization, through making it real, rehearsing the gospel stories, rehearsing what Paul has written, rehearsing Old Testament accounts. So you meditate in it day and night, and well, Pastor, I just can't do that. Well, the Bible says you can. You don't know how busy I am. But we're all busy. We live in a busy time. But that's not an excuse. The Word says that we can do it day and night. That, and so when you do that, this is what the Scripture says, so that you may observe. So you may observe, so you may see it. And so it becomes real. If you see something, you're going to have a better chance of doing well in that area. If you can see yourself swinging that club properly, there's a good possibility you're going to be successful. It can, if you can see yourself hitting that baseball, or if you can see yourself, and when you come to that place, you're going to have more success. And this is what the Word of God says. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. That you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then, after you've done meditation. After you've done. And so it's more than just hearing. You need to be a hearer. But you will not become a doer until you take it a step further. So that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say God will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say your pastor will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say your wife will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. We want to be a success. And so if we want to be a success, we're going to have to do it the Bible way. Because this is the truth. In here are the keys to life. In here are the keys to living. And so I think we've missed something in this area. The Amplified says, to deal wisely in all the affairs of life. If you'll speak God's Word, if you'll hear God's Word, put God's Word in, and then take that extra step and begin to rehearse it and begin to go over it, memorize it. The scriptures say, then you're going to begin to see it. And once you begin to see it, you're going to have it in your life. That's the thing about the faith walk. It starts in here. I know we all want it manifested out here. We want all the promises right now. But you can't have manifestation until you have the manifestation on the inside. Hallelujah. And so meditations is a key for you to be a person of faith. Now let's go over to Psalm. Psalm chapter 1. And again, you know, the first time I heard about it from Brother Copeland, about visualizing something, it didn't happen for me overnight. Well, the next day I just started doing it. It took effort. There was some effort involved. It took some time. And before it really, the concept really became real to me, I would say it probably took about a year, really, before I really understood what he was talking about, and a lot of effort involved, really working at it. So it's just not going to drop in your lap. It's going to take some effort. And again, daily, if you'll do something a little bit every day, it'll pay off for you. Not every once in a while, but something every day. Be consistent, and then it'll really begin to work for you. But look at what Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, delighting in his word, delighting in God's word. Do you delight in this? Are you hungry today for God's word? Are you hungry for the truth? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you hungry for the way that God does it? I mean, it gets to be just like a physical hunger. People talk about coffee in the morning. I got to have my fix. You just got to have it. If you don't have it, your day doesn't just go right. You got to have it. You got to have the Word, God's Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. There it is again. Day and night. And here's the benefits. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. Who's got an amplified version? Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither. And everything he does shall prosper or come to maturity. Finances, relationships, the gifts that are in you, all these different areas, they can come to maturity. You can have a full harvest. You can be successful. God's plan is for you to be wildly successful in everything that you do. Be like a tree. You know, I've got a creek running through our property, and we also have a pond. And I'm telling you, we've got some big trees that are by that water. Why? Their roots are right by the water. And I'm telling you, they are some big trees. Don't you love those big trees? That's the way God sees us. That's the way we are. For folks that will delight in God's word, put it in, and stay at it. Keep on playing, whatever it is. Don't give up and quit. Keep on playing till you win. That's God's will.
You've been listening to School for Life, a production of Good News Church and Faith 100.3. If you have questions or comments about today's broadcast, please write to us at School for Life, care of WRMK-LP, 400 Warren Road, Augusta, Georgia, 30907. Join us tomorrow for part two of Growing in Faith. Join Pastor Matt Judd for part two of Growing in Faith.
Psalm chapter 1. And again, you know, the first time I heard about it from Brother Copeland about visualizing something, it didn't happen for me overnight. Well, the next day I just started doing it. It took effort. There was some effort involved. It took some time. And before it really, the concept really became real to me, I would say it probably took about a year, really, before I really understood what he was talking about, and a lot of effort involved, really working at it. So it's just not going to drop in your lap. It's going to take some effort. And again, daily, if you'll do something a little bit every day, it'll pay off for you. Not every once in a while, but something every day. Be consistent, and then it'll really begin to work for you. But look at what Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Delighting in his word. Delighting in God's word. Do you delight in this? Are you hungry today for God's word? Are you hungry for the truth? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you hungry for the way that God does it? I mean, it gets to be just like a physical hunger. People talk about coffee in the morning. I got to have my fix. You just got to have it. If you don't have it, your day doesn't just go right. You got to have it. You got to have the word, God's word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. There it is again. Day and night. And here's the benefits. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. Who's got an amplified version? Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither. And everything he does shall prosper or come to maturity. Finances, relationships, the gifts that are in you, all these different areas, they can come to maturity. You can have a full harvest. You can be successful. God's plan is for you to be wildly successful in everything that you do. Be like a tree. And, you know, I've got a creek running through our property, and we also have a pond, and I'm telling you, we've got some big trees that are by that water. Why? Their roots are right by the water. And I'm telling you, they are some big trees. Don't you love those big trees? That's the way God sees us. That's the way we are for folks that will delight in God's word, put it in, and stay at it. Keep on playing, whatever it is. Don't give up and quit. Keep on playing till you win. That's God's will. Let's talk about an example of faith. By faith, Abraham became our father in the faith as well as father in the natural. Look over in Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Talking about faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. He wasn't weak in faith. He did not consider his own body. He didn't consider the five physical senses already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced, I believe it's the King James says, fully persuaded, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. God promised Abraham an heir that would make him the father of many nations. Imagine that, a man that is 99 years old. That's pretty miraculous, would you say? Do you know anybody that is 99 having kids? I don't know of anybody. This is a man of faith here. This is a man that's persuaded. Who wants to have kids when you're 99? Hallelujah. God spoke to him when he was 75. And he didn't have Isaac until he was 100, almost 100. 25 years. This is a man of faith. Now we know why he is the father of our faith. But he said to him that you'd be the father of many nations. He said that to him when he had no heirs, no children. So God made a promise to him. And despite the fact that Abraham had no natural hope, nothing in the natural realm said this is going to happen. You ever been there? Anybody here ever had a miracle? Something impossible happen? Nothing in the natural says it's going to happen. He had no natural hope of ever having a child with Sarah since she was past the age of childbearing. He believed in the hope God's promise gave him. And what is the promise? The Word of God? God's Word? God made a promise? And since Abraham was not weak in faith, he did not consider the limitations of his own body, nor the fact that Sarah was barren. Weak faith considers the circumstances, but strong faith focuses on the Word and what God said. You cannot be a person of strong faith without the Word of God constantly coming into your life. And I recommend on a daily basis. You can't overdose on God's Word. But he gave more consideration, Abraham now, gave more consideration to the power of God than to the deterioration of their bodies, of his and Sarah's body. Hallelujah. This is a precedent for us. This is an example for us. This is our father in the faith. This is a pattern for us to follow. Are you facing any impossible situations today? Well, if you're not now, you will one day. I got some mountains in front of me right now. Some impossible situations. But praise God. God has come through every time in the past. He'll come through now. I know that I know that I know. Hallelujah. So weak faith considers the circumstances. Strong faith focuses on the Word and what God says. Although it took 25 years for the promise to come to pass, Abraham did not waver. Wavering is going back and forth. Well, one day it's going to work, another day it's not going to work. One day you're talking faith, the next day you're talking doubt and unbelief. One day you're encouraged and you're at peace and you're confident, and the next day, woe is me. Nothing works for me. That's wavering. Wavering is going back and forth. Tossed to and fro. If you know something, you don't waver. Did when you sat down tonight, were you like, wavering in your chair? Did anybody do that? I mean, were you like wondering whether this chair could hold you up? You just sat down. You were confident. Well, it's the same thing in the things of God. You can have that same assurance, that same confidence in God and in His Word. You know, I didn't mention this last week, but there is a process to faith. And I worked at a manufacturing plant for 6 years. I love working in a manufacturing plant. It's just exciting. And I learned the whole process of making paper and then eventually making lumber. That I love learning about the process. And, you know, for example, making paper, it starts with wood coming in. They make chips. They take those chips and they cook them. And they break it down into tissue paper. And that paper is run on these big cylinders, and it's made into paper. They add chemicals to it, You know, there's a process to it. Well, did you know that there's a process to faith? There's a process to your faith, and you can become skilled in it, just like the manufacturers are in what they make. You can become skilled and knowledgeable in faith, where faith will work for you every time. Faith will work for you in every circumstance, every problem, every situation of life. Abraham was strengthened in faith, and he gave glory to God. Faith praises God. Faith looks upward. Faith shouts. Faith dances. Faith laughs at problems. He praised God for the answer before he saw it. Remember Paul and Silas? Sitting there with their backs bloodied, chains on. They praised God. That's faith. That's faith in action. The Lord gave Abraham a vision by telling him to look at the stars in the heaven. Why did he do that? So he could see it. He changed his name. We'll get to that. To Abraham, the father of many nations. He was doing things in Abraham's life so that Abraham could get a concept of it. So that every time Abraham looked at the stars, he realized this is going to be his family. And he believed. He believed that, even without even having an heir. God changed his name. God instituted circumcision as a mark to remember the covenant. Go back and read how God had Abraham bring Isaac to be sacrificed. You know, we just read through that story. We heard that in Sunday school or wherever. That actually happened. And this is a father actually raising a knife to kill his son. And he was going to do it until he was stopped. Can you imagine that? The faith of this man, he was so confident, so assured of what God said to him. He told his servant that he and his son were going to return. He knows he's going up there to sacrifice his son, to kill him. But faith speaks. Faith acts. And so he came to the place where he had that knife and he had it raised. And in his heart, he actually killed Isaac. Because it's already a done thing. Can you imagine the confidence and the trust in God? He saw it. The stars. His name is changed. Circumcision. All these different things. He was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he would do. And so he was convinced on the inside. He was fully persuaded. All right, let's talk about patience. Let's look over in Hebrews 6. I'm telling you that story about Abraham. That you ought to meditate on that. Go back to Genesis and read the account of these different things. And get this in your heart. Hebrews 6, verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The ministries you ought to be imitating are those that are preaching faith. Those that not only preach it, but live it. Don't just follow any minister. Don't just follow anybody that's preaching anything. Are they preaching faith? Are they living a life of faith? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They go together. You can't have faith without patience. Patience is vital. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, I like that, patiently endured, he obtained the promise. If you're going to be a person of faith, you're going to have to walk in patience. Patience says it's working even though it has no indicators in the natural. You have to make a decision. It's a decision you make that you're going to walk in patience, that you're going to be patient. Either you're patient or you're not. And if you say that you're patient, you will be. If you say that you're not patient, then you won't be. One of the enemies to faith is but. It's working, Pastor Matt, but this and this is happening. The word but means zero. It zeroes out everything you just said. So that big faith statement you just made, and then you say but, all that's wiped out. And then what you say after that, that's what's happening. Everybody say, I'm patient. I patiently endure. My strong point is patience. Did you mean that? Hallelujah. If you say it isn't, if you say it's not working, even though God wants to do it for you, He can't do it. He's not going to override your confession, and He's not going to override your believing. Well, God can do anything. No, He can't. Your will can be more powerful than God. If you say it's not working, it won't work. Your confession, what you say. So patience is endurance. It's steadiness. Are you steady? I love this. The ability to endure without complaint or losing self-control. No pity parties. No big fits. No complaining. Now, David Horton, who helped us start this church, used to have on his pulpit a sign that said whining, and then it had that like no symbol, no smoking, you know? No whining on this pulpit. You think I'm bold? There's no room for whining. No complaining. We are having a complain-free zone. It does no good. It doesn't change anything. And it works against your faith. The patient man is steadfast. The patient man is a rock. I mean, he wants to make that bad confession. He just stops himself. Doesn't lose control. Doesn't pitch a big fit. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. Look over in chapter 10. The force of patience enables the believer to stay the course without casting away his confidence. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, now just as I read this, just let this sink into your spirit. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith. Don't cast away the things you've been believing God for. Don't cast away your dreams. Don't cast away the things you've written down in your prayer journal. Don't cast away the things you've come into agreement over. Things maybe even years ago. Don't cast away, don't cast aside your confidence, which has great reward. The faith life has great reward. The faith life is the most exciting life. The faith life is the abundant life. The faith life is the victorious life. Great reward. Not just when you get to heaven and you get your crown with all his jewels and all in your mansion. There's rewards here on the earth. Well, Pastor, I just haven't seen it. I've been at it. I've been working. I've been at it. And I just haven't seen it. Well, you're just around the corner from manifestation. This is a time when you need to be patient. Faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Not just faith. patience. Don't you love the Word of God? For you have need of endurance. Now, God's telling us something here. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God. Now, thank God for instantaneous situations. But whether it's instantaneous or not, you're going to believe until you have it. It might as well be instantaneous. Because when you pray and you believe, faith, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but faith says, I have it now. Whether you have the manifestation or not, you have it. After you have done the will of God, after you've heard the word, after you've done meditation, after you've spoken God's word, after you've prayed the prayer, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. He will come through for you. He will come through for you every time. He won't tarry. He won't delay. He's going as fast as he can go. And if we'll stay in faith and patience, the manifestation will come quicker. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I remember back in high school, I did some stupid things when I was in high school. I'm not going to go into them tonight, but I had done a lot of stupid things in high school. And so then I asked, and thinking back now, I asked my mom and dad if I could rent a hotel room for prom night. Now, I know what you're thinking there, but we were just going to get it, and afterwards, we're going to have our party, whatever, and me and my friend, we're going to... Me and my friend... No, that's the truth, though. We're going to stay there. And they told me no. What mean parents. I can still see it today. I'm in the kitchen with my mom. I said, Mom, don't you trust me? And I was getting all mad that they didn't trust me. Because all my previous 100 mistakes, there's no reason for them to trust me. But I'm telling you, God is bothered when we don't trust Him. In fact, it says, my soul, talking about God, has no pleasure. He loves you, will do anything for you. He's merciful toward you, doing whatever He can to protect you, but He has no pleasure in you. Isn't that sad? I've got pleasure in my kids. I mean, you know I do. I talk about them all the time. You know, when Susie and I, when we go somewhere, you know, we're going to have this weekend away from the kids. We'll be, you know, going somewhere, we're on the road, and within a half an hour, Susie's asking me, what are the kids doing? Boy, I sure miss them. We got pleasure. We take great pleasure in our kids. But God will take no pleasure if we're not people of faith, and then we're people that give up so easily, or if we don't trust Him, He has no pleasure in us. That alone will make you want to be a faith giant. I want to please God. Don't you? I want to please Him. I want Him to say to me, Matt, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You ran the race. You finished your course. Amen? But we are not, talking about us, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's us, right? Three ways to obtain patience. The first way is patience is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you and on you. It's the fruit of walking in the Spirit. Walking with God. Hearing from heaven. Not walking according to the flesh. So you have a right to expect patience to be in your life, to manifest in your life. So start saying it. Say, I'm patient. Amen. Say it all the time. Till it manifests. Hallelujah. Faith. Okay, go over to James. You know, you don't want me to read this, but I have to read it. James 1. This is the Bible now. My brethren, sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And my reference column says endurance. The testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You want to have abundance? You want to have more than enough? Be a person of patience. So, therefore, don't be upset when you're in a trial. But don't be upset about a trial, because this is another opportunity to develop patience in your life. Hallelujah! Now, I'm not saying you have to pray for trials. Read Mark 10. I believe it's Mark 10. It talks about those that want to have the hundredfold return. Anybody here want to have the hundredfold return? It says that you will have the hundredfold return with persecutions, with stress, with pressure. So you're going to have trials. Praise God, another opportunity. God's moving you higher. Every trial is another chance for you to move higher in the things of God. Going from faith project to faith project. Now you look at someone like our brother Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland bought, I believe it's, I want to say $5 million jet. Brand new. One of the few ministries that has bought a brand new jet. The Lord told him to do that. He's believing for a Citation 10, I believe. And I think they go for at least $10 million, $15 million, $18 million. You know, that's right. $18 million. He didn't start believing in God for a Citation, $18 million plane. You start where you're at. This is the same guy that would rip off buttons off his coat and put it in the offering. Or his hotel pen, put it in the offering. That's where he started. But see, he worked at it. He kept working at it, one thing at a time. And God is always moving you higher and higher and higher, until one day, an $18 million jet. How'd you like to be believed for an $18 million jet? It's a progression. Thank God it's a progression. God's not going to give you something bigger than you can handle. But start where you're at. Don't despise where you're at. You know, believe him for socks. Use your faith for socks. And then use your faith for pants. And then shoes. And you know, sometimes we use clothing or things like that, a car or a house. But see, then you start getting it over into things that God wants. He wants that for you, but I mean, the plan of God. You're using the same faith for the bus to be filled. Or the same faith for bus drivers. It's the same faith you used for the socks, but you've developed it more. And now you're able to use it for bigger things. Amen? You see how this works? Patience comes through the Word of God. Look over in Romans real quick. Romans 15. Patience comes from the Word of God. Romans 15, 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So hearing God's word produces patience. All right, so everybody got that? You're going to expect that now in your life? Everybody say it again. I'm patient. I'm the most patient person that I know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some hindrances to faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, talking about the just living by faith, never committing to faith as a lifestyle. You have to do that. Faith has to be ingrained, integrated into your life. This faith walk is not a once-in-a-while deal. It's not when you feel like it. Again, it's a daily thing. You're committed to living by faith. Don't use your credit card and go in debt to get something that you want. Use your faith to get it. I think it's almost too easy now to do these kind of things, and so we've missed some opportunities to develop your faith. God will get it to you. I remember back when I first started. I mean everything. I didn't have anything. Everything I needed, I was desperate. I mean, for my next meal, I had to believe God for. Develop your faith. Don't use the credit card. If you don't have the money in the bank, use your faith for it. And then it'll get exciting. And then when you get the new TV, instead of being in bondage and being depressed every time you watch it, knowing you got to make those payments, believe God for it. God may move on someone to give you a TV nicer than the one you wanted. That's why it's so exciting when you begin to believe things like this, because God will do miracles for you. Sometimes it may come down to the wire, but that's okay because you're patient. You don't mind that if it comes down to the wire. It may happen every once in a while. Another hindrance to faith is neglecting to make a quality decision to stand in faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. It means you have faith in God. You make a decision to have faith in God. You're the one. Now, this seems so elementary here, but you are the one that is responsible for the development of your faith. Nobody else is responsible. You are responsible for the development of your faith. You know, I have passed up some marvelous opportunities to quit in this faith life. Anybody else? But I passed them up, praise God. Still living, walking in my faith after all these years. Saved in 1982. Still, I'm going stronger than ever. Hallelujah. And to live the faith life is going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take strength. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some discipline. All right, the next one, we read this last week, needing physical evidence before you believe. We talked about doubting Thomas. He had to see the nail prints in his hand. He had to see the scars. Not only did he have to see them, but he had to feel them. That's not faith. Believing and knowing before you see it manifest. The next hindrance to faith is putting the promises of God off until the future or someday. Well, someday I'll have that. Someday this will be here. Faith is always now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. Faith isn't going to be one day. Faith is now. Faith is constant. Faith says, I possess it now. I possess healing now. The moment that I believe and I speak it, I possess it now. Just like salvation. I believed in my heart. I confessed it with my mouth. I'm saved now. I'm not going to be saved one day. I am saved right now. I possess eternal life. It's now. It's a knowing. That's how you know when you have it, when you know it's now. You're not putting it off to one day. Another hindrance to faith. This is a biggie right here. Not walking in the love of God. Galatians 5. Faith works by love. Not walking in love will short-circuit your faith. If you're here tonight and you're struggling in your love walk, if you're struggling in relationships, you're struggling in faith also. It's very vital. You can't have any room for offense, unforgiveness, just bad relationships. Because the Bible says your faith works by love. So it's vital. Sometimes you can be doing the things right in faith as far as some of the process, but you're not walking in love can stop your faith, which you're believing God for. So that's why you always want to keep an open slate. Husbands and wives, don't go two or three weeks not speaking to each other. 2 or 3 weeks mad at each other. Because for that 2 or 3 weeks, you're short-circuiting your faith. Your prayers won't be answered. And if you don't forgive, the scriptures say you won't be forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, that means you're not in fellowship with God. And if you're not in fellowship with God, you're not making a connection to God. He's not hearing your prayers. No room for that. Hallelujah. Growing weary. Galatians 6. Don't grow weary. This is the Bible talking. I'm just feel led of the Holy Ghost. Don't grow weary. This is the scriptures. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in sowing seed. Don't grow weary in tithing. Don't grow weary in your prayer life. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Weariness shows up in the mouth. A good indication if you're getting weary is when you start saying things you normally don't say. Husbands and wives will probably notice before anybody else. Your confession. And you don't even realize it because you're getting tired. You're getting weary. What's happening? Your faith is getting weak. That means you need to double up on the word. You may need to pull yourself away. Say, honey, I got to spend some time. I got to get some tapes out tonight. Get my notebook. Go back over some things. Feed on faith until that positive confession. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Until faith comes back in your words. Don't grow weary. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing a lot of people right now growing weary. There's a lot of pressure right now. Pastor, why is there so much pressure right now? Because we're living in the last of the last days. We're coming down to the end here, wrapping things up. God is moving on the earth like never before. And so Satan is putting up a fight like never before. And so you may be here tonight feeling more pressure than you've ever felt in a long time. I've had many people I've talked to, they've said these words, I'm discouraged, I'm down, I'm depressed, I feel like quitting. Well, I tell you, when those kind of situations happen, the devil is really hitting you hard because manifestation is just about to happen. But if he can get you to quit, or if he can get you to faint, oh, the pressure. If he can get you to quit or faint, it will not come to pass. God's hands are tied. It's like Chip Brim said, you're on the goal line. You're right there. You're on the goal line. But Satan, you know, puts those smoke screens up, and you feel like you're on the 99-yard line the other way. And so, well, what's the use? I might as well just give up. But see, you're right there. You're right there. Just, you know, when it comes down, when they're on the goal line, they have the biggest guys come in there. The offense, they get the big guys in there. They may get the big fullback in there because they're going to put some extra power. And they're going over. They're going to score. Well, right now, this is not a time to be spiritually weak because the devil's going to eat your lunch. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him any room right now. We're living in the greatest time of harvest in all of history. The harvest process has been accelerated. The Spirit of God is moving on the earth like never before. This is the greatest hour in all of history. The saints in heaven, they're in the grandstands of heaven watching us run this race, and they're cheering us on. And they would love to be here on the playing field. But we're there. I'm getting pride about it, but we're there. So don't let the devil lie to you that it's just another year. We got another 50 years. Just kind of coast. There's no time for coasting. Hallelujah. Allowing Satan to steal. What's he trying to do? He's trying to steal the word. He comes immediately to steal the word. But it's not like some demon is manifest the minute you walk out there in church. You know, there's this demon standing there trying to steal the word. No, it's all kind of circumstances and situations. And it's thoughts. But nonetheless, you got to recognize he's trying to get the word that's in your heart. Because if you'll receive the word and act on it, you're going to rob his kingdom. You're going to destroy him and destroy what he's doing. So he's trying to stop the word. He's trying to stop you from coming to church. He's trying to stop you from having time in the word. He's trying to bring distractions, all kinds of distractions. We're living in an hour. I mean, you can watch 70 channels at one time. All the internet. I mean, I don't know how many websites they're adding every day. One time I heard 70,000. Could be, I don't know. Sounds like a lot. But you could spend 24 hours for the rest of your life on the internet and not even just a sliver of what the information and stuff they have on there. There are so many things. You know, and then we have people, well, man, I'm believing God for a computer. Man, I'm everybody else has one. I'm believing God for a computer. Then you get the computer and you spend 6 hours on the computer doing a bunch of junk, taking you away from the Word. It would have been better for you not to have the computer. But I mean, it should be for you to be a blessing to you. Well, Pastor, I'm believing for that big screen TV. So how I can watch all these programs bigger than life. But now you love that TV more than you love God. And you're getting distracted. Sports. That's a good one. Entertainment. Soap operas. Not you, but other people. You've heard about these things. The newspaper can be a distraction. Politics. Gossip. Telephone. A lot of what we talk on the telephone is a bunch of trash. Now, am I saying you just got to be in the Word 24 hours a day? No, but there's things. Just watch things as they try to pull you away from the things of God. You used to be so excited about church. You used to be so excited. And what's happened? Something else has filled that void. You used to be so excited about the Word. It's all you could talk about. But now you talk about everything else but the Word. Sickness and disease can be a distraction. Financial lack can be a distraction. You're so busy trying to manage your money, all the credit card schemes and checks going everywhere and this one's got to be there just on time. And, you got the whole big plan of the mail and how many days it takes to get there. And big financial thing. All these things, distractions. Realize these are tools of the devil to keep you away from the Word, keep you away from bearing fruit. All right, let's close it here with reasons to trust God. God is not a man that he should lie. He won't lie to you. He speaks the truth. He is good for his word. He will not fail to honor it. Go back over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is closer than it's ever been. The day is approaching. Be around the anointing. Be under the anointing. What God said, what He promised you, He's faithful. I love this here. I'm just going to read it. For He Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Hallelujah. Matthew 19 says, with God all things are possible. Get you out there in the realm of the impossibility. Get you out walking on the water, out where a place where you got to trust God. Get out beyond your comfort zone. I'm telling you, this is the time to start thinking as big as you can think. Go back to writing things down. Go back to dreaming things. Get the legal pad. Start writing down big goals. Start getting outrageous. Then tack on Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to read it. People just aren't excited about the things of God. And what that shows me, when people aren't excited about the things of God, they're not using their faith. They're not expecting anything to happen. When you're expecting something to happen, you are excited. You are passionate. Some passion about you. Passionate the way you are when you're at the football game. Passionate. Excited about the things of God. The scripture says fervent. Red hot. God's looking for some red hot people. Passionate. Hallelujah. But see, after you've all written your big prayer requests and all your big goals and your dreams, many of them, they're impossible. Tack on Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who by the consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.